This is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Good morning, sports fans. Welcome back, and it's good to have you here again for the Big Monday Show as we started off here on Locks of the Week Radio. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, everybody. I am Dave Medina, and we hope that you are rested and ready to go here as we approach December. Actually, the last day of November today, 30th. And so we embarked on a cold, cold winter that's coming up along with the Christmas holiday. I'll be honest with you, I haven't started my Christmas shopping yet. And the reason is because, well, it's expensive. You know, even with all the sales that are going on, it's expensive to have to shop for Christmas gifts all month long. And there's a lot of them. I've got about six people in my own family, now seven. Let's say six. And then daughters, sons, nephews, and whatever. That makes up a few others. And by the end of the day, I have 20 gifts to shop for. So it's not something I'm exactly looking forward to. That's going to be an expensive Christmas this year and holiday season for all of us. So again, welcome. We took a break over the last week, ran some reruns. Hope you enjoyed those. And we're back. And what happened while we were gone? Well, to review, Tiger Woods slammed his car into a fire hydrant, and we still don't really know the real story behind it. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish lost back-to-back games. They're done. They have been done. USC continuing to show that it is an embarrassment this season, although they are rebuilding. And the Indianapolis Colts, once again, taking victory from the jaws of defeat. Now for the fifth time in a row. That's an NFL record. We'll get into that in a moment here in the City Unlocks of the Week Radio. So a lot happened, but at the same time, not a whole lot happened in sports. Sports has been kind of stagnant for the last few days as we get into December and start to get into the meat of the matter. College football, what really happened? USC beat UCLA. They always do that. Not very exciting. Florida beat Florida State. Florida State sucks. So, you know, I mean, there really was nothing to report even over the last two weekends. Although I do remember that UConn had a dramatic double overtime win against Notre Dame at South Bend, which I thought was very tremendous. Very good win for the UConn Huskies. And they needed it. I mean, they haven't been able to catch a break for the last month. Good win for the Huskies. Obviously, a painful blow for the Irish, who really weren't that good to begin with. But as you see now, they've now become just a complete quagmire. It should be any second now that Charlie Weiss will get fired or bought out or something. And speaking of firings, did you get this? The Nets started their season 0-16, and before they could even play the Los Angeles Lakers on Sunday night, the Nets fired coach Lawrence Frank. And, you know, you always want to hang on to these guys, because when you lose that bad, you try to make any reason to believe that the team could still tough it out. Because the coach can often be a scapegoat for these situations, but 0-16... Once you get to that point, the team has lost its faith in the coach. They've lost all trust and respect, and at that point, you just got to let him go. So before the Nets can get their 17th consecutive loss, which I believe will be an NBA record, they have fired Coach Lawrence Frank. He's done. Didn't even get to coach Sunday. So I don't know if he made the trip or not with the team, but that story is out, and that's definitely a big thing that's going on there. A lot of quarterback injuries over the last week and a half that we've been gone. And just to give you an example, Kurt Warner is bum and he's out for a long time, possibly the rest of the season. Ben Roethlisberger got hurt in a game which they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs a week prior to this one. He's gone. He's probably done for a couple of weeks at least. Now, technically, he was available as a third-string starter in last night's game against the Baltimore Ravens. But for all intents and purposes, he's not playing. And that's a big blow to the Steelers. And then, as if that wasn't enough, you had moments where there were injuries to guys. What we thought maybe that Mark Sanchez might have been hurt pretty badly in their game yesterday against the Carolina Panthers. Now there's no there's no telling whether how serious the injury is. It's too early to tell. But quarterback injuries are just going all over the place here in the NFL these days. It's been crazy and nuts just to think about. So that's what's been happening in sports so far. I'm sure there's more. I mean, we could talk about how the Titans have really made an incredible run. We'll get into that later. And, oh, here's another quarterback injury. Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan and Michael Turner both got injured in their game against the Falcons. In the Falcons game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is in Atlanta. Falcons win the game, but man, oh man. Quarterbacks are going down like gophers here across the NFL. It's just been a very violent, deadly week for quarterbacks in football. Nuts, right? But that's the way it is right now, and sometimes it just completely changes the landscape of the playoffs. We have no idea what's going to happen now. And so you're in a real bind no matter what division you're talking about. And yet somebody who still manages to stay perfect despite all of this, is Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts. And at this point, they have no reason to be this far into the season and still undefeated. And we will touch on that coming up here in the show. This is Dave in the City. You're listening to the Dave in the City podcast on Locks of the Week Radio. I am Dave Medina, and we have had quite a crazy Sunday. A day of comebacks, a day of wild finishes, and monumental collapses. Let's start with the Indianapolis Colts today, because I just couldn't wait to talk about this. I mean, are these people nuts? These people who have been just pumping up the Houston Texans all season long. Oh, this is the team that's going to make the playoffs. This is the team to beat. Oh, look at all this talent. They're going to be so good. And yet they never make it. They never actually succeed to the level that everyone expects. They never meet their expectations. Could you consider this team an underachieving team? Could this team be a team that really should be a lot better than it is, but it isn't? And you could be. You could absolutely feel this way. And a big example of this has been how they played against the Colts. The Houston Texans, obviously their season is, for all intents and purposes, over in as much as them trying to make the playoffs. The Colts beat the Houston Texans 35-27 over at Reliance Stadium. And of all the games that the Colts and the Texans have played in the last, 10 years, this is the one game you thought that maybe this time the Texans would have won. The Texans went up 17-0, should have been 21-0. And here's what happened in that situation. It was the second quarter, and Matt Schaub had a touchdown pass, basically a touchdown pass to Andre Johnson, who caught it along the sideline, fell down in the end zone, and then let the ball trickle out of his grip. It was ruled that he lost control of the ball before he fell onto the grass. And replays basically backed up this assessment. There wasn't enough evidence to overturn that call. It was, if you think about it, a good call. And basically, Andre Johnson, a guy that usually is pretty good with holding onto the football, couldn't do it. And I think that was the turning point of the game, because had he caught the ball and held onto it the entire time, the Texans would have been up 21-0 into the second quarter. Instead, they settle for a field goal. They did have a few downs. It was only, if I remember, it was a first down or second down play They had a few downs to make that up, but they still couldn't do it. Still couldn't do it. Couldn't get into the end zone, so they settled for a field goal. And I had a bad feeling when they went up 17-0, when they could have been up 21-0, not to mention they ate up a little bit of time off the clock to do so, which actually works in their favor, but still, when they could have been up 21-0, three possessions at home against the Colts, who was due for a loss anyway. They were going in 10-0. They were due for a loss. So when I saw that they could not stomp on the Colts' throat and put them away, I had a bad feeling that this was not going to end well. Even though the Texans were up 17-0. And surely enough, after that moment, the Colts scored their first touchdown of the game and cut the lead to 10 points. And I thought, oh my God. Are the Texans going to do this again? They're going to blow the lead again? They were up by 17 points? I just couldn't get over the fact that there was even a chance that they could blow this kind of a lead. I mean, I know that teams will blow leads of that kind of magnitude from time to time. But any team worth its salt ought to be able to protect a 17-point lead. Now, I do know that the Dolphins basically had the same problem a few weeks ago against the Saints. Same situation, too. They were at home, too. But the Texans are vastly more talented than the Dolphins. Let's face it. Matt Schaub, pretty good. Andre Johnson, excellent. Steve Slayton, also very good. They have Mario Williams on defense. This is a good team. This is a team that has no business being 5-6, but that's what happened. Because in the third quarter, then they gave up the rest of the lead, and they were down 21-20 with 9 minutes left in the game. What do you say about that? I mean, they didn't even wait till the end of the game to blow the lead. Then all of a sudden, Clint Sessions intercepts Matt Schaub, goes into the end zone, and suddenly the Colts are up 28-20. Just like that. I mean, no sooner than they get this huge lead, they blow the entire thing, and then all of a sudden they're down by 8 points. You have got to be kidding me with this sort of thing. This has to be the worst coaching job, I would have to think, of the season so far. And there have been a lot of bad coaching jobs this season. Gary Kubiak, who is the coach of the Texans, and I can't imagine would be a coach for much longer, has taken some of the greater talent in the league and somehow come out of it 5-6. This is why, among other things, I thought that the Colts were not going to make the playoffs because I thought this team was going to show up. They haven't. I mean, you lose a game against the Tennessee Titans, which I think was, you know, got to give the Titans a lot of credit in that one. But you blew a lead then, too. You lose a game against the Indianapolis Colts, and then now you're down 28-20 in the third quarter. And before you know it, it gets worse. Yeah, you didn't think it was going to get better before it got worse, did you? Before you knew it, there was another interception return for a touchdown. And then all of a sudden, the Colts are up 35-20. And that's the end of it. The final score, 35-27. Colts now go to 11-0. They are perfect. Again, we mentioned the Texans are now 5-6. And it just really makes you scratch your head. I mean, seriously. You have to be a bad coach to put your team in a position to be basically eliminated from the playoffs with that much talent on the team. Now, people are going to say that they're overrated. No, they're not. This is a good team. These are good players. These guys can do these guys can get some wins, but you know, any team that has a 17-point lead needs to put that thing away. The Browns, if they had a 17-point lead, probably put it away. And I hate to say it, but I think even the Buffalo Bills, if they had a 17-point lead this year, would be able to keep the lead and maintain it. I grant you, week one, they were up by at least that many points, and they blew it. Good point. But with them being at home and having one of the better quarterbacks, one of the better wide receivers, one of the better running backs in the league, and a very good defensive player, and a very good defense on the whole, you can't blow a 17-point lead against anybody, even the Colts. And this is just amazing. The Colts just keep playing all these tomato cans. And then the teams that they are, the good teams that they play, something like this happens. And I know I picked the Texans in my locks of the week. I still went 2-1. But it still bothers me that the Texans cannot get over this mental block. And that's a coaching problem. And I think Kubiak is gone. He's got to go. He has got to go. This is a ridiculous comeback. And, I mean, look at this team. Look at the way the season has unfolded for the Texans. All right? So they lost this game. If they won, they would have been, let's say, they would have been 6-5. Let's say that they actually tied the game, somehow went to overtime, and beat the Titans last week on Monday Night Football. Then suddenly, they're no longer 6-5. They're now 7-4. And if they had just put away the Colts when they should have in their first meeting at Indianapolis, then maybe they would be 8-3 right now. That is a big difference. And, you know, in close games, usually the better coach wins these games. Usually, not always. But, I mean, to lose this consistently in the clutch like they do, and to blow leads this often like they do, that is a coaching decision. That coach, Gary Kubiak, is not going to be listed as a coach next year. He can't be. I mean, they have squandered so much talent and so much hard work by all the people who draft in the first, second, third, 15th round in the draft. They have squandered the work of scouts who have gone out and searched out these players. They squandered the works of all the researchers and statisticians who learned about how good these players were. He's completely squandered the effort of all the people who have figured out the salary cap numbers and worked out contracts so that they could be viable. And they've taken the work out of all the people who go through their day, go through their week, go to the game, and take out time out of their day to watch this team play. All that has been wasted because of one Gary Kubiak and his coaching staff. They have the defense. Maybe not statistically, but they have the defense. They've got the offense. They can score points. It's coaching! I mean, I'm just so annoyed by this team. And it's no wonder why people just continue to pump up this Houston Texans team. And they keep saying that they're this great team, that they're going to make their run. This is going to be the year. Oh, they're going to make the playoffs this year. They're going to make their run. They should make their run. I've seen enough of this team by now in the last 3 years to say that this is a pretty good team. How are they not making it past the hump? And then this lucky as fuck. And I'm sorry for the language, but this lucky as Indianapolis Colts getting by every week against tomato cans and then against with these lucky breaks that they get with teams just basically just falling down at their lap so that they can just whiz by them and continue to be undefeated is just one thing that boggles the mind for me. I'm sorry, but if you ask me, the Colts are so lucky. I know that they're 11-0, but you know what? There are three other teams that are about the same as them. The Vikings, the Saints, and the Colts. And you know where I rank the Colts? Dead last of the three. I'm sorry, but the Colts are not impressing me right now. Oh, yeah, you know, oh, well, they get the points, and Peyton Manning gets his little records. Great. But you know what? They have been skating by. They were fortunate to beat the 49ers. They were so lucky to beat the Patriots in a rare, maybe once in every 158 million chance that Coach Bill Belichick would make a coaching blunder for sheer bravado, if nothing else, because there were no logic in it, going on 4th and 2 2 weeks ago. And now this. A team that really should have beaten them by a lot of points not only lose, but they fall down and lay down and let the Colts whiz past them by a bunch of points. You can't make this up. You just can't figure it out with how the Colts are continuing to get these lucky breaks every single week. Is it any wonder that they've clinched the AFC South division with over a month to go? Unbelievable. And yet, the Texans on the other side of the ball presents only a piece of the underachieving story in the NFL this year. And who would be the poster child for underachievement in the NFL? Why, you only have to look towards the Liberty, the land of Liberty, and the place where the Declaration of Independence was signed. That would be Philadelphia. And coming up in the city, how the Eagles have once again squandered, speaking of squandering, right? Once again squandered their chance to be a well-respected team in the NFC, and why I am never going to buy into this team again. We'll get into this in just a moment. This is Dave in the City. You're listening to the Dave in the City podcast here on Locks Up the Week Radio. I'm Dave Medina, and you know, we were talking about underachieving teams. I mean, the very facet, the very essence of underachievement in football, practically all sports, and if you really put it together, I don't think of underachievement and not think of the Philadelphia Eagles. You could say it's the Cowboys, but the Cowboys maybe just aren't that good to begin with. You could say it's a team like the Texans, but you know, do they do this year after year? I mean, it's hard to say. Because the Texans will beat the teams they're supposed to beat, at least. That much is said. The Texans' problems are with the teams that are actually good, or as good, or better than them. Very winnable games, certainly, but there are people who are on the same talent level as them. The Eagles are the only team in football that I can think of that literally plays down to their competition. Not only down, but below their competition. And no more was that displayed than in a game against the Washington Redskins on Sunday afternoon. Now, the Eagles won the game. The Eagles won. The final score was 25 to 22? Yes. So they won. Oh, check that. I need to learn how to count. 27-24 was the final score for the Philadelphia Eagles game. All right. Yeah, it looks good on paper. But this team should not have been having this much trouble against the Redskins. And, you know, I mean, I look at this team. McNabb, somebody pointed this out to me once. I think it was Andrew. I think it might have been a guy on ESPN. I don't know who it was. But the thing about McNabb is very simple. The reason McNabb can struggle a lot, and the reason why he may end up being very inconsistent, is because when you deal with passes that are short across the middle and require very, very acute timing, he's not very good. He just flat out sucks at it. I mean, look, he had some wide open receivers in the end zone, along in the red zone, whatever it was. If he needed like 3 yards, he couldn't hit any of those guys in the middle. Whether it's him just looking deep or the fact that he's just not very good with his accuracy in the throw, my dad actually told me that it's probably because he throws the ball too hard. But McNabb, he can't do it. I mean, if you played a game of under 10-yard passing, if you played dink and dunk all day, and that was like the game, McNabb would be the single worst quarterback at this kind of exercise. The single worst. Now, he'll hit DeSean Jackson for 30 to 40 yards. Because once he sees plays develops and he sees that guys have time to run down the field and really get a read on where he is, he's pretty good at getting the ball down deep. Again, he's got a pretty good arm. But if you have a play where you need about 2 seconds to figure out where a guy is and how to quickly hand it off, quickly get it off to him, he can't do it. Cannot do it. And so because of this flaw, the Redskins exploited him for quite a while, and then they had the lead. Well, and if it wasn't for the Redskins' own ineptitude, which it seems to be the theme of the day here in the NFL, the Eagles probably would have lost again. They would have lost another game to a team that really, really shouldn't be anywhere near them. And I do know the divisional rivalry, but listen, in this instance, that had nothing to do with it. The Redskins are not a good team. And for them to get up a big lead, really showed that the Eagles are just not ready for prime time. And honestly, it's the same problems they've always had. They have the same mixed up offensive game plan where they don't take advantage of their running attack, which they don't really have this time around, but I'm just talking about in the past. And they run a West Coast offense to a guy that's ill-suited for it. If that makes any sense. I would be interested to see what Donovan McNabb's quarterback numbers were for plays shorter than, let's say, 10 yards. Don't have time to get into that right now. But I saw him play, and I could tell very honestly that he just can't hit guys down the middle for quick gains. Can't do it. Guys that really can do that, Peyton Manning, obviously. Manning has got great decision making skills. He can hit anybody at any time. No question about it. Chad Pennington, another guy that can do it, that can do that sort of thing, that can get the quick off. He does a good job that way. Obviously, Pennington's problem is that he can't get it past 10 yards, and so he's obviously a flawed quarterback as well. Another guy that can do that, believe it or not, Brett Favre. And Favre can do it whether he's getting tackled or whatever. It's nuts what you see with there with Brett Favre. And, I mean, quarterbacks can make these things happen. And lately, we've seen that Vince Young can even do this sort of thing now. He's making good decisions. He's not doing too much. He makes things happen. I think that's brilliant. I think it's a wonderful thing. But McNabb's not one of those guys. And so the Eagles, once again, play down to their competition, and they barely beat a Redskins team that really shouldn't even have been in the picture. And that's bad. And, you know, I'm just getting a little fed up with the way Andy Reid manages this team. He coaches this team, maybe long-term, maybe short-term, but it's as if he just has a system, he rolls with the same system, and he doesn't account for adjustments. And that's just what we end up with. Is it any wonder that Andy Reid's teams don't ever seem to do what they're supposed to? Do they? Maybe they have a lot of talent. I know defensively everybody's regarded them as a very good defensive team. But man, when it counts, I've never really seen them come through. Outside of 2004, maybe. And the only thing to say in Reed's defense is that when they made that run to the NFC Championship, the results were the same as they should have been the whole time. But seriously, why can't they just be good the whole season? Why do they have to wait till the end? It's the most frustrating thing with the Eagles. And really, it's just a team that annoys the heck out of me because of that very thing. I just can't get into that. It really, really annoys me. It does. So anyway, talking about underachievement, that's one thing. Then you look into a team that's kind of overachieved of late, the Tennessee Titans. They started the season 0-6. They're so bad. Enter in Vince Young, and suddenly, he's got them back on the right track. Is it all Young? Well, it's not all Vince Young, though, that's getting it done. But when he played against a admittedly depleted Arizona Cardinals team, one without Kurt Warner, he and the Titans were placed in a very tough situation. They were down a bunch of points, and they needed Vince Young to come through and engineer a drive to win the game. And this is sort of the thing that a lot of the experts in football were wondering about. Well, Tennessee can do fine when they're surprising some other team, or when they have a lead, or whether they can keep a lead and maintain their own momentum from their running game. But what are they going to do when they're behind? And this is the sort of thing that Kerry Collins completely failed at. We figured that Vince Young was going to be a wild card in this situation. But on Sunday, in a game that proved to be very thrilling at the end, Young led an 18-play, 99-yard game-winning touchdown drive, including a touchdown pass at the last second, or near the last second, when that went to Kenny Britt in the back of the end zone, right around the middle. And that was a wild madcap play. It was just unbelievable. That was a signature moment, to say the least, for Vince Young this season. You know, at some point, you know, we look at what happened with Vince Young as we see him back. He's a different guy now. And even our good friend Jacob Rosales would agree that he's been playing a lot better than he used to. And I think he's just taken a little dosage of reality and worked it to his advantage. And I say that's a great story. It really is. I mean, I'm very, very happy for Vince Young. You know, you never want to see a guy like that go AWOL. Then he did, but then he came back, and this is a good redemption story for Vince Young. No doubt. On the day, he had 387 yards and a touchdown pass, the touchdown being the one at the end of the game. So we know that the Titans' offensive attack is still predicated on running, and it should be. I mean, you never want to go away from what made you good. And, you know, truth be told, I think they've been just doing the things that they need to do to win. They don't do too much, and I think that's what we have. But this time around, you end up with a situation where Vince Young won a game for him. I'm not sure if that's happened yet on the NFL level for Vince Young. And while it was against the Cardinals, who don't have the greatest of defense, still pretty impressive. And yes, the pass was only a 10-yard touchdown pass. But you got to give him a little credit there. And I am very happy for the Titans, the way that they've been going. Five in a row. Five in a row. Just like that. And so, before you know it, it is possible for the Titans now to get back to 500. This is a huge story. That's huge. Who comes back from 0-6 to get back to 500? They don't even have to make the playoffs at this point. They don't. The Titans just have to, if they get to 500, that is a brilliant comeback performance for their season. I mean, it really is. I mean, that is very, very impressive what they've done. And when you go back into the history of football, seeing them do this sort of thing is something that nobody, and I mean nobody, would have expected. So, it's very interesting to see. And so now here you go, with probably one of the most scintillating matchups I can think of next week. The Titans going to Indy to play the Colts, who have been just overdue like a library book for a loss at 11-0. And the Titans now have a chance to get to 500. Staggering. Absolutely staggering. When you consider that 5 weeks ago, the Titans were considered far and away the single worst team in the NFL. For them to make this kind of a comeback is huge. Shows that they didn't give up on their system. They committed to the run. They committed to their defense. And they didn't give up. And I think you gotta owe a lot of credit to Coach Jeff Fisher. And let's face it, Vince Young making that move to put him into play, brilliant, good decision, really. They had nothing to lose at that point, and having him in there, huge. And Vince Young, to his credit, has basically saved Jeff Fisher's job. It's as simple as that. Saved his job. You can say anything else you want about it. You can make assessments, analyze it however you want to. But Vince Young saved his job, man, because if they had continued to slide the way they were going, he was done. Even after all those years, He would have been done. I think he would have been fired, that some other lackey would have been in to replace him. This has been a huge signature cornerstone moment for the Titans franchise this year. And certainly, it would be just unbelievable if they can go out to Indianapolis and beat them next week. Without question. I mean, that is the game of the week. At least in at 1 o'clock Eastern time it is. Wow. Oh, man. So we are hoping here in the city to have you all back here real soon. It's been really a lot of fun doing the show, and I want to let you know that firsthand. And I want to let you also know that if you wish to participate here in the program, join us at daveinthecity.podbean.com, daveinthecity.podbean.com, and let us in on what you are up to. If you want to get in touch with us and be on the show, you can certainly drop me a line there also at that same site. So thanks again for listening here, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy your time here as we proceed on Earth. And we'll be back here real soon. But until then, I hope you have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time.